It's my pleasure at this time to welcome to the pulpit the Reverend Murray Uemoto. He is actually his first name. He is named after a theologian, John Murray. So, as I mentioned this morning, I had the opportunity to have both Murray and Machen in my house at the same time. So, Reverend Uemoto.
Thank you, Pastor. It's a great privilege to be here and to be in the home of Machen and his family. I feel like I'm in the land of the giants again. Praise the Lord. But young Japanese men and women are growing taller than their teachers nowadays. We would like to open the scripture to New Testament 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. To 3, verse 5. I will be reading from the New American Standard Bible. But we should give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation, through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. And it was for this he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. Chapter 3, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you, and that we may be delivered from perverse and evil men. For not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, that you are doing and will continue to do what we command. And may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the steadfastness of Christ. Let us ask God's blessing upon this, his holy word. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we can gather together to worship you and to be in your word. Your word is what has created the worlds and has also created a new life in Christ within us. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll continue to shape us by your word into and mold us into the image of your beloved Son. Lord, we pray this in his precious name. Amen. I'd like to talk about verse 1, especially that the word of the Lord may spread rapidly. The Greek word here is trecho, and it's often translated that the word of the Lord may run. We may think of Star Trek and those spaceships going at light speed. But in the Northwest where I'm from, I went to the University of Washington. Some of you are from that era. Area. Basically, when you think of trekking in the Cascades, you don't think of running too fast through the woods. But apparently it doesn't mean to spread fast or to go quickly. And this is a wonderful phrase. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may spread rapidly or run and be glorified. Here, the emphasis here is upon the word. But also Paul prays, asks for prayer for the messengers of the word. Pray for us that the word of the Lord may run and spread rapidly and be glorified. It is the word of God that has changed our hearts of stone into hearts of flesh so that we can learn to love God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and our neighbor as ourselves. And it's only his word that can do such a work of grace in the heart of Murray Uemoto. I praise the Lord. I'm a third generation Christian. And my grandparents came from the Nagasaki area, Oita Prefecture, and from Shikoku Island, where Gospel Life member Michael Surge is right now teaching English. He is not in our mission exactly, but he wants to serve and in any way he can teaching English. But some of you are first generation. There was an OPC pastor from Armenia who was 1,000 years Christian in at least as far as they know. So praise the Lord. The word of God comes to us in our lives someplace. And my grandparents were befriended in Seattle by Christians and started to go to church. My mom went to Japanese Baptist Church, and my dad went to Japanese Presbyterian Church in Seattle. When the first OPC church began about 1947, my younger brother was named after, not Van Til or Machen, but he was named after the first OPC pastor there, Earl Zetterholms. My younger brother Earl was named after the pastor there. But my mom, coming from a Baptist background, coming into the OPC, she sometimes said, it felt like an icebox for a long time. But some of you kind of understand. But she warmed up to the doctrines of grace. Praise the Lord. Well, the word of the Lord comes to our hearts has come to the hearts of His people in the old covenant and the new covenant, and to us. First, I'll speak about the old covenant. Finally, the brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may spread rapidly and be glorified and may run. Also, Paul is talking here, and that he will protect you from the evil one. I was very surprised to read in the epistles to the Thessalonians how much Paul is conscious of the evil one and of Satan. He is always at work as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, 1 Peter chapter 5. And therefore we must cast all our cares upon him, for he cares for us. Chapter 2, he says, that is, the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders. We know that Satan is not just a myth, he's not just an idea, not just a power, but he has character, and he is always opposing the work of the Lord from the fall of our first forebears. You know how the word of the Lord came to our first forebears in the garden after they fell. It was God's word. The Lord Jesus and the Spirit came to, and the Father came to our first forebear, Adam, and he called out, "Oh, where are you, and what have you done?" The word of God comes to us also, asking the same questions. Where are you, Murray? And what have you done, Murray? And we can only say and confess that I am the chief of sinners, as Paul does in 1 Timothy. The word of the Lord came to Noah to build the ark, and the word of the Lord came to Abraham in the great Abrahamic covenant I will bless you and make your seed as the stars in heaven, Genesis chapter 15 and Genesis chapter 22. The word of the Lord also has come to King David in 2 Samuel chapter 7. I will give you a seed. And there will be one who comes after you who will sit on your throne, whose kingdom will have no end. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord comes to us in Isaiah 55. He promises that my word shall not return unto me void, but will accomplish that for which I have sent it. And we praise the Lord for that. The word of the Lord came through Ezekiel and Jeremiah, that he will send his Spirit in the latter days, and he will give us hearts of change our hearts of stone into hearts of flesh, so that we might seek after the living God. Word of the Lord has come and of course given us his word, the Holy Bible. But here, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul says, again, pray for us that the word of the Lord may spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you. I read from chapter 2:13, because there it has a short summary of the gospel, how God is the one who has chosen you, beloved in the Lord, from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. In other words, this is Ephesians chapter 1, that God has called us and chosen us in his beloved, in the Lord Jesus Christ, from before the foundation of the world was laid, in order that we might gain salvation through sanctification by the Holy Spirit and faith in the truth. Here are the wonderful doctrines of grace, how it was God's word God himself who has chosen a people from every nation, tongue, tribe and people group to worship him and the Lamb who was slain from before the foundation of the world, from Revelations. So God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. Coming into the OBC, some people say, wow, I learned a lot of TIONs, justification, sanctification. But these are in the Word, and it might take a little while to get used to them. But just think of, if you'll just remember, it is God who has chosen us, but it is through faith, and we must come in faith and repentance to the truth and to the Lord Jesus. And he has called you through our gospel. So the gospel has come to my family, to your family, and it is the Holy Spirit alone who can, who will protect our faith to the end. This is what Paul says in chapter 3, and I have confidence in the Lord concerning you that you are doing and will continue to do what we command. And may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God, into the steadfastness of Christ. I wanted to talk about how the word of the Lord came in the New Testament. You remember in Acts chapter 16 and 17, how the word of the Lord, through Paul, his messenger, was brought to Europe. In Acts chapter 16, Paul was wondering where he should go, whether to what is now modern-day Turkey in Asia Minor. And then the Lord sent the vision of the Macedonian man calling him to come over and help us. And Paul and the others concluded the Holy Spirit was leading them to cross the waters to Europe. So we know how the first church was founded in Philippi, and named after Alexander the Great's father, Philip of Macedon, and how the second church was founded in Thessalonica, named after Alexander the Great's sister, married to Philip, King Philip. At Philippi, you know that Satan was active in that slave girl, and her owners were making a lot of money through her divination. And she would follow the apostles around and say, these are servants of the Most High God. And finally, Paul had to cast out the demon from her, and then he and Silas were thrown into jail. But you know how God caused an earthquake, and the shackles fell off, and the Philippian jailer was about to kill himself. And Paul said, don't harm yourself, we are all here. And the Philippian jailer came trembling to Paul and Silas and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul replied with the famous words, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, you and your household. After that, you know how Paul and Silas and perhaps Timothy came to Thessalonica, and these are the Christians there, that we are reading about, how many turned to believe, many of the God-fearing women believed, and then the Jews became jealous. Acts chapter 17, but the Jews became jealous, and taking along some wicked men from the marketplace, formed a mob and set the city in an uproar. And coming upon the house of Jason, they were seeking to bring them out to the people. And when they did not find them, they began dragging Jason and some brethren before the city authorities, shouting, "These men who have upset the world have come here also." And Jason has welcomed them. They all act contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, Jesus. You can see how Satan was behind these unbelieving Jews, how they unfairly roused the mob using wicked men in the marketplace. And therefore Paul is saying, please be praying that God will deliver us from perverse and evil men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. Paul says, may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the steadfastness of Christ. If it were not for the steadfastness of Christ and the love of God, we would not stand, and these Thessalonian Christians would not stand to the end. But Paul encourages them that it is God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation and through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. And he has called you through our gospel that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see how the gospel came to in the New Testament times to Thessalonica, the second church in Europe that we know of, that was founded by the apostles. Church historians, I read in the Pelican series of church history, they reckoned that Europe was finally Christianized, so to speak, by about 1378, when the king of Lithuania, in order to get married to the Polish princess, was baptized. The gospel comes in fits and starts, but it is powerful, and it will not return to God void. I want to talk also about how the gospel and the word comes to us. We need to be praying that the word of the Lord will always have free reign in your heart and mine. Each time we hear the word, it is the Holy Spirit speaking. And Paul says, from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and truth. I pray that the Holy Spirit will anoint his word, and he has always anointed his word. When we hear the word, when you open up your Bible in your daily devotions, especially when you hear it Sunday by Sunday, and the Holy Spirit is speaking, he is changing, he is challenging us, he is calling us to repentance. Your pastors know you better than I do. I know my own heart, that it is a heart of sin, and that if it were not for the grace of God, there go I. But you know, the Holy Spirit is the one who groans and travails in Romans chapter 8. All creation groans because of the fall of Adam. And the Holy Spirit is the one who groans also, and that is what causes us to groan in our sinfulness and to travail before the Word. I'm just thankful how God has taken me to bring the word to you today. I would have been amazed many years ago, before I went to seminary. I grew up in the quiet Tohoku, northeast Japan. I was one of the early homeschooled kids, maybe, studying correspondence courses through Calvert and University of Nebraska High School Division. I didn't have too many friends. Many of my friends went to the Christian Academy in Tokyo, as did my siblings. But I'm one of 11 siblings. As some of you know, only my brother and I couldn't go to CAJ in Tokyo, but due to the costs. But And when I went to seminary, it was kind of like what my dad said. My dad and Japanese Americans, you may know, were interred after Pearl Harbor in relocation camps. But you could leave the camps. My dad left the camp in Idaho near Twin Falls to go to Dallas Seminary. But during the war years, you had to be in the ministerial track. My dad just wanted to answer Machen's call for educated elders. And he didn't want to be a minister at all. But he had to take these preaching courses, and he said he almost fainted. I resonate to that. Praise the Lord, God has given me, I pray, a heart that trembles before His Word. But I was trembling before people many, many years also. But it is the Word of God that gives us courage to proclaim the only gospel that saves. Paul told the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20 that I fully proclaim the gospel to you from house to house, repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the steadfastness of Christ. If we were to trust in our own good works, we would fall tonight or tomorrow or right now. But it is the steadfastness of Christ, our Lord, that gives us our hope. Some call this active and passive obedience of Christ. In his 33 years as a dearly beloved Son of the Father was pleased to say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Listen to him. In his passion in Gethsemane and on the cross, he was obedient, and he prayed, "Not my will, but thine be done." It is this steadfastness of our Lord Jesus Christ that is imputed, is reckoned as ours. And it would seem almost incredible that it would be imputed to you or to Murray Uemoto. And you and I know our hearts that if it were not for the steadfastness of Christ imputed to us, that we would fall tonight or tomorrow or right now. But Holy Spirit is our teacher, isn't He? May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the steadfastness of Christ. Paul writes in the first epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 4, similarly, "For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Now, as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write you. For you yourselves have been taught by God, are taught by God to love one another." I think that's such a wonderful phrase. You know, growing up, some books are more familiar than others. I often didn't think that Thessalonians meant as much to me as Philippians. But going through Thessalonians, I find all these phrases about the love of God. That God is the one who teaches us to love. That God is our Holy Spirit is our teacher who teaches us to love Him, His Word, His worship, and His people. For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. The Holy Spirit, God Himself, is our teacher. The major course that we are studying for the rest of our lives is God's love and how it came to dreadful sinners like me and you somewhere at some time in our lives, and as it did to the Thessalonians, as it did to Adam and Eve in the garden. Here it says in chapter 2, "For these will perish because they do not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved." This is a very terrible phrase. We pray, of course, that everyone, our loved ones, will be saved. But we know that there are some that will not be saved. They will perish forever and ever in hell forever and ever. "For they did not receive a love of the truth so as to be saved. And for this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they might believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness." I pray that each one of you today will love to hear your Savior's voice speaking through the Word today and every day, week by week, in the worship services, to love the Holy Spirit, who is truth Himself, whose Spirit, whose fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, etc. To love it when the Holy Spirit teaches us and points out our sins to us from His Word, because He has called us from the beginning for salvation through sanctification. And this means that the Holy Spirit wants to change you and me into the likeness of His beloved Son, God's beloved Son, day by day. And the Holy Spirit is not content. We should not be content to just go through the motions, go to church, act like a good Christian, as I'm sure it's easy to do here, but not in Japan. Please be praying for the church in Japan. Only 3 out of 1,000 people we consider as evangelical believers. The government in China is so worried about the Christians growing, multiplying, that they bulldozered down about 40 church buildings in one province about 3 years ago. You saw some of, maybe one of them being bulldozered down on the news. I asked a China missionary, well, were they underground churches? And he said, no, they were state-approved churches. You know, the government itself projects the number of Christians in China growing to be up to about 16% of the population by the year 2050 or so. But here I see the next generation of the workers for the gospel in Japan. I don't see the next generation. Our churches are growing. There's few young people. Praise the Lord, there is a Reformed Baptist couple in our church from Nagasaki area. They have 2 autistic children. We had 4 college students who are now in the working world. That's very unusual for a tiny church of average 15. Sendai Megumi Chapel is the only lonely OPC mission work in all Asia with half the population of the world. It was a house church meeting in our house for 19 years until the Lord gave us a wonderful building last year. Please be praying for the Lowers as they travel. Please be praying for the Yaigashis across the mountains. Pastor Cause went to RTS in Jackson, Mississippi, and graduated about 1977. Please be praying for the Brazilian Presbyterians. Daniel and Marcia Gomez are in the Nagoya area, the only Brazilian Presbyterian missionaries. They are like a Goliath to the OPC David. And they have 1 million members in Brazil. 355 presbyteries, 3,000 missionaries, but they are the only missionaries from their church in Japan. Please be praying for our missionary associates. They want to come back. Please be praying for the Lauer's 3 sons. They want to come back. If only there would be churches to send them. Praise the Lord for the faithfulness of the saints. We saw some of you know of G.I. Williamson in his nursing home. He just had a stroke in Sheldon, Iowa. And he came to the door and greeted us, and we were able to take photos. very thankful for the saints who have gone before us. We need to just be praying that the Lord would continue to change us through His Word that is ever active and living, sharper than a two-edged sword. And we're thankful, aren't we? It is the Holy Spirit whose work it is to change the heart of Murray Uemoto and your heart into the likeness of His beloved Son in His holiness and His love. Paul says, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run, especially beginning in my heart and in your heart and throughout this land. Let us pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we just love You because You first loved us. We know we could never love You. We would never have loved You. We're running 180 degrees in the opposite direction. It was only because of Your grace and mercy, because You were pleased to choose a people from every nation, tongue, tribe, and people group to love You forever and ever, and their neighbor as themselves. To love their pastors, to love their brothers and sisters, to love the preaching of your word and your worship week by week and day by day. We pray this in our precious Lord Jesus' name. Amen. The hymn is number 422.